And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood and masculinity. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and we have a packed studio today. In the studio with me today is Ken Thompson.
Hello, everybody.
And we've also got Glenn Poole, who's visiting from the UK.
Hi there.
And our special guest today is Dr. Anna Rubenstein. Anna is one of the founders of the Pathways Foundation and the author of The Making of Men. Dr. Anna Rubenstein is an expert on adolescent development, and he has over 30 years' experience as a doctor, counsellor, mentor, speaker, and workshop facilitator. We want to talk particularly to Anna about his 2013 book called The Making of Men. Anna, welcome to the program.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So, Anna, you realised in the 90s that many men and boys were unhappy and lost. Do you think it's improved since the 1990s?
I actually think it's probably gotten worse. I think the whole technology has become a big problem, and it's sort of increased separation a lot. And, you know, one of my personal beliefs is that men and boys need to be spending a lot of time together, need to be supporting each other, and I think that's probably happening less. So I definitely wouldn't say that there's been an improvement, and I get really disturbed when I see statistics come out from organisations like Beyond Blue, which say that, you know, 1 in 4 teenage boys are going to be having a mental health issue in any 12-month period. So I'm really concerned about the situation, and I think there's a lot we need to be doing about it, and can.
Yes, perhaps this has been described as the most underfathered time in our history.
Yeah, the most underfathered and over-medicated and over-diagnosed. I mean, you know, I strongly believe they keep saying all our, you know, teenage boys and young men have a problem. I actually think that the problem is the environment. It's not the teenage boys and the young men. And you know, my work is about looking at what we need to be doing so that we can improve the environment and therefore improve the whole situation for young men and boys.
Yes, your book is about solutions, and for people that can get a copy of this book, you'll find that throughout the book there are a lot of tips, there are suggestions, strategies, exercises. There's a whole range of things that that we can all do, because I think you see teen boys naturally as having a lot of good qualities.
Yeah, look, I've dealt with thousands of teenage boys over the last 30 years, and I know that, you know, as I say, in the right environment, they're fantastic. You know, they're fun, they're energetic, they're creative, they're loyal, they're courageous, they're cheeky, they're brilliant, and they're deeply insightful. But conversely, in the wrong environment, they're a nightmare. You know, they're sullen, they're angry, you can't get them up off the couch, they're disruptive, they're shut down. Yeah, they're hard work, looking for trouble.
So why do so many boys get into this trouble that we see?
Look, I think it's a combination of things. I think that if we look at what teenage boys really need, and in fact, it's not just teenage boys, it's everyone, but they need what I call is a healthy personal identity, which is they need to feel seen, and they need to know what their own particular gifts and talents, their genius or spirit, you know, what that is. And, you know, so for example, some teenage boys are fantastic at building, some are fantastic at music, some are fantastic at art, some are fantastic at sport, some love storytelling. You know, they're all different. And for me, and you often see it when they're little, that's when it's most obvious. You know, every kid is different. And I believe that a huge role for us as elders in the community is to be helping identify what are the gifts and talents, the genius and the spirit of each of our kids, and how do we bring that out. And I think one of the biggest problems is that, you know, we're in a world where we're trying to make them all the same. And marketing is really about, if we can make every kid the same, then they'll drink the same drinks, eat the same food, wear the same clothes, and we'll be able to make money off them. And to me, that's just ridiculous. So I think that's a big thing. A lot of the teenagers who I speak to who are struggling feel like no one knows who they really are, and they're living behind a mask. And that's a very difficult place. And at the same time, when you see a teenager doing something they really love, you see them shining. And for me, the big thing is, you know, we've got to get them all shining.
You make a comparison with a rocket and a rocket going off course. And we know the sort of destruction that a rocket can cause if it goes off course. And I guess you're drawing the analogy with young boys who can go powerfully off course and cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, I mean, the analogy I use is exactly that they're not actually the rocket, they're the astronaut in the rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And the rockets tend to sort of really fire up around puberty. And that's also when the rockets can, you know, crash and burn. And those years from puberty through their teenage years are critical years. They're years of amazing opportunity, and they're also years when a disaster can happen. And I think we really need to be guiding our boys through that time. It's when mentoring is so important, is when their relationship with their father especially needs to change. And you know, a big part of my work is around how do we celebrate and acknowledge that they're entering this period? You know, how can we create appropriate rites of passage to acknowledge the fact that our boys are becoming a young men? And look at what that actually means for them. Look at what that's going to mean for their role in their community. Look at how we relate to them, how we teach them, how we work with them, everything. Because it's very, very different how we do all those things from when they were little boys.
You quote an African proverb in your book, which I particularly like. It's, if we don't initiate our boys, they will burn down the village to feel the heat.
Yes.
And that's when that rocket goes off course, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I was giving a talk yesterday and the speaker before me said, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And I totally agree with that. And then it's a beautiful quote. If we don't actually initiate them, then they're going to burn down that same village. They want to feel the heat. And the reality is our boys are going to go through an initiation. They are going to go through a rite of passage. And the real question is, are we going to let them create their own in cars, with drugs, alcohol, getting into fights, doing stupid things?
Mm.
Are we going to let them work that out? Or are we going to create appropriate rites of passage for them, facilitated by elders, and doing it in a way that actually has the best outcomes?
And what is that best outcome? We often ask parents, what do you want for your child?
Yeah.
And you get a fairly standard response.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And there are two key outcomes that I look at. One is we want them to shift from what I call boy psychology or boy behavior to healthy adult psychology, healthy adult behavior. So boy behavior is typically what you see in a six-year-old. You know, I'm the center of the universe. It's all about me. I want acknowledgement all the time. I want all the power. I'm going to live forever. You know, I can't stand with my emotions. If I don't get what I want, I have a temper tantrum. And a six-year-old boy wants a mother. You know, and that's beautiful in a six-year-old. But healthy adult behavior is where I understand that I'm actually part of a community and what I do affects others. You know, power's for all of us. If I don't get what I want, I have to be able to handle my emotions. I can't just have a temper tantrum. I'm not going to live forever. So I actually need to think about what I do with my life. And importantly, I'm not looking for a mother, but I'm actually looking for a relationship. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of our men are still acting on boy behavior of wanting acknowledgement, thinking they're the center of the universe, wanting power, not handling their emotions, and wanting a mother. You know, there's even an argument we live in a society that's being run by boys. And it's a disaster. So the first thing in a rite of passage is to create that transition to healthy man behavior. And the second is to really name and acknowledge the gifts of each of the young men and say to them, look, as a man, we see this in you. We see your gifts and we want those gifts. We want you to live the life that you're really passionate about and to bring those gifts to the community so that the one who's great at music becomes a musician and the one who's great at building becomes a builder, and the one who's fantastic with people has a role that involves supporting people, maybe a doctor, maybe a nurse, maybe, you know, all sorts of things. But that we actually support all of our young men to find what really are their inner gifts and to support them to come out.
We're going to come back in a minute with a classic example of a boy in a man's body, but we're going to take a short break now, and we're going to listen to a rite of passage type song. This is by Peter, Paul and Mary. It's a song called Puff the Magic Dragon.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon.
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
And that was Puff the Magic Dragon by Peter, Paul and Mary. And our guest today is Dr. Anna Rubinstein, who is the founder, or one of the founders of the Pathways Foundation and the author of The Making of Men. So, Anne, we were just talking about these examples where even perhaps our leaders are still exhibiting boy behaviour when they should be exhibiting man behaviour. And I guess the one that comes immediately to mind is our leader until recently, Tony Abbott. There have been newspaper articles based on your book looking at the behaviour of Tony Abbott, which in many cases shows boy behaviour. Have you ever tried to apply your principles to that leader?
I think if you look at most of our leaders, you could see typical boy behaviour. And one of the classical markers of boy behaviour is not taking responsibility for your actions. And I would ask, when was the last time that you heard a politician say, you know, I was wrong. I really did the wrong thing. I made a mistake. I need to deal with it. As opposed to blame and denial and everything that goes with that. So, you know, I think that the whole thing of not initiating our boys risks ending up with men at all levels. And it's not only political levels. Men, there, you know, many bosses in positions of importance at work who, are ruling through power and through fear as boys rather than as men And a genuine man leader in a workplace, his aim would be to really support his workers and to bring out their gifts, as opposed to just trying to get them to do what he wants. And then the same thing happens in families. I hear so many women tell me how the fathers in the family are still boys, and that when their own sons get to that age, when they're becoming young men themselves, then the father and the boy goes into competition with each other. And you sort of start a war in the household, which is totally disastrous and not the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, that you often hear women saying that their boys just get taller,
yeah,
without making that switch.
Yeah.
So when parents say to you that they want happiness for their child, happiness and success seem to be the two things. What is really meant by happiness, do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, the happiness and success, it very much depends how you define it. So the word happy comes from happening, and so it's actually to be able to be connected to what is happening right now. So for me, happiness is not about just having a smile on your face all the time. It's about if you're somewhere that's joyous, to be able to feel that joy, and if you're somewhere that's sad, to be able to feel sad, and to do them at the right time. I've heard many people say they went to a wedding, even their own wedding, and they couldn't feel the happiness, or they go to a funeral and they don't feel the sadness. And so for me, it's a big part of being able to be present and being able to feel what's going on. Same with being able to connect with whoever you're with and be genuinely present. And then success for me, if success is based on boy behavior, you have to be number one. You have to have more than everyone else. You have to be being looked at all the time. That's success on that level. But success from a place of healthy man behavior is having a good family, having healthy relationships, doing work that you really believe in. That would be a definition of successful. Unfortunately, what I see on the TV, successful is about being famous and having tons of money. And we know that doesn't bring happiness often.
In your courses, it's a very important part of going from a boy to a man is this rite of passage.
Yeah.
Now, it's often bandied about, but what do you mean by talking about a rite of passage?
Yeah. So a rite of passage is actually a formal marking of that transition time from being a boy to a young man. And in my research, what I found was that every Indigenous community all over the world would always create something to acknowledge that period in a male's life when they actually stopped being a boy and started to become a young man. And they would take them away for a period of time and do certain things. And that's why I started the Pathways Foundation with some other men back in the 90s to do that. And then I left Pathways in 2008, and we now run programs up on my land in northern New South Wales. And we take boys and their dads or a male mentor on a camp for 5 days, and during that time, the boys get an opportunity to hear the stories of their fathers and other men. The boys get to do challenges, and they get time to think about, what sort of man they want to be and what behaviors they know they need to let go of. And by the way, they do know. They know what they need to stop doing. They create a vision. They talk about, how they want to live their lives and what's important to them. And then importantly, at the end, one at a time, each of the boys is honored in front of everyone who's on the program by their father or the man who brought them there, where an opportunity is created so that that man tells the boy what he loves about him, what he's proud of, talents he sees that the boy has. And the boy is then also honored by another couple of men. And what we're doing is really saying to each of the boys, you're different from all the other boys. We see you. We see your gifts and talents. And we love that about you. And that's actually who we want you to be. It's a very powerful process. We also, the mothers are involved. It's a whole big rite of passage for a mother to let go of her boy and acknowledge the fact that he's becoming a young man and that he's going to have his own life. And that, she's not going to know everything about what goes on. And it's one of the things we say to mothers, there's a point where we need to let them go, but still be available. You can still have a fabulous loving connection with your son his whole life. But if you try and hold on to him and smother him, and control and know everything that's going on, there's a risk he's actually going to push you away. And he may even do that inappropriately.
Now, I think there are three critical components of a rites of passage that you've identified. And the first one is that you go away somewhere.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what, if people are interested in perhaps doing their own rites of passage, what should they be trying to design into it?
Sure. It's tricky to do your own rite of passage. And one of the things that I've recognized is a lot of people do want to with their children. So I've actually started putting together some stuff so that I can provide resources to people who do want to do that. And they're welcome to get on my website at drarna.com and I can support them with that. But basically, the classical stages of a rite of passage were a separation from the community or even from normal time. So it's actually setting up a space to do the rite of passage. Then there's a transformation or a change stage. And then there's a return back into the community in a different way. So what I mean by that is, creating a space to do it, which can be going camping or, even doing it at home. And then in the transformation is sharing stories, creating challenges, and honoring each of the talents and gifts of the boy. And then the return or reintegration is about saying, all right, well, after this, you're different, which means we're going to treat you differently and you'll get more privileges. But we're also needing you to be more responsible because you're now, a young man in this community. And that's it's so important that return, that last stage happens and the boy is actually recognized as now being a young man.
And we have another dad in the studio today, Glenn Poole. And Glenn, I think you'd like to ask a question.
Yeah, Arne, just to say, I mean, this is what you talk about is really inspiring. And the bigger picture that I see is that we can create a world where there's something that's happening naturally, that boys are growing up in families and communities and schools where we recognise the value of what you're talking about. And at the moment, it takes people like you to bring this awareness back into our communities. So I'm interested to know, what do you see are the main barriers that are preventing us getting to a place where this is just happening naturally in every country, in every community, for every boy?
Yeah, it's a great question, Glenn, and my aim is to see this becoming normal and natural. I think there's a number of barriers. I think the first is that we've lost our understanding of what a rite of passage is. So there's an educational aspect to it. And in my experience now, when I talk to people and I go, look, when your boy reaches 13, let's do something and let's do something to really support him being a young man. And that'll include sharing stories of older men. And people go, yeah, that's great. I get it. I understand it. So it's about increasing the awareness. But I think, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but on a deeper level, rites of passage aren't necessarily fully supported by society because from a purely marketing point of view, from an economic point of view, a rite of passage will identify that each boy is different and is going to want their own, has their own journey. And it's much harder to control people, and especially teenagers, if they're all doing their own thing. And a lot of our schools, we want kids to all be the same in many ways, to wear the same school uniforms, to sit in school for 9 hours a day. And, so the system wants control and the people who are selling stuff want control. And, that actually goes against many of the things that we're saying. I reckon about, maybe a third to a half of our boys, school just doesn't suit them. And they really shouldn't even be going to school, at least for a year or two. They need to be doing other stuff. But we don't have the setup for that. And also, a rite of passage can be confronting because it's about people owning, facing certain of their own even personal demons. At the same time as you find your own personal vision, you have to look at what's not working in your life, what's the stuff you have to deal with. It requires people being honest. Imagine that. You got to be honest. And that is a lot more difficult than you would imagine.
And we're speaking with Dr. Arne Rubenstein, who's the author of The Making of Men. Arne, you've picked a song for us to go out on. Could you tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it?
Yeah, I've picked Imagine by John Lennon because I love that idea of, imagine all the people, living life as one. It's a beautiful, imagine no wars, It's a beautiful song, and also I've been trying to learn to play it on the piano for many years, so I have a personal connection with it, and I love it as a bigger picture song.
Great song, Imagine by John Lennon. And that was Imagine by John Lennon. The end of another program of Dad's on the Air. Our guest has been Dr. Arne Rubenstein. And we'd like to say that thanks to Zoom Publishers, we have a giveaway related to today's program right now on our website. So if you want to go to dadsontheair.com.au to enter, we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and you'll also find details there of Dr. Rubenstein's website to follow up on this program. So, Arne, thank you very much for being on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And thanks to our dads today, Ken Thompson and Glenn Poole. And this is Bill Cable signing off, and we'll be back next week with another program.